You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast at savage.love.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony,
if it looks like a dick, if it's roughly the size and shape of a dick, if it fits in your hand or your pussy or your ass like a dick, it's probably a dick. Or in the case of a 2,000-year-old wooden artifact discovered in a Roman-era fort in Northumberland in the UK in 1992, it's definitely a dildo, an ancient Roman sex toy, and not, as it was cataloged at the time of its discovery or its uncovery. The archaeologists didn't discover dildos. They uncovered a really old one. Anyway, when this thing, which looks like a dick, is the size and shape of a dick, got dug up 30 years ago, they said it was a darning tool. I've seen the pictures, and I agree with Newcastle University archaeology senior lecturer Rob Collins, who told The Guardian that it's, quote, self-evidently a penis. I don't know who entered it into the catalog as a darning tool, Collins continued. Maybe it was someone uncomfortable with it or didn't think the Romans would do such silly things. So, yeah, that thing, not a darning tool. Even if the person you shove it into, splinters and all, is highly likely to say darn. Oh, and for the record, that Roman dildo isn't the oldest known dildo in the world. The oldest one, 30,000 years old. Discovered in Germany in 2005, that one was initially cataloged as an Ice Age baton because it was easier for archaeologists to imagine an Ice Age conductor waving what is self-evidently a penis around in front of an Ice Age orchestra straight out of the Flintstones than it was for them to imagine someone using this Ice Age dildo for its clearly intended purpose. In other dick news, according to a study published on Valentine's Day in the World Journal of Men's Health, the average erect penis length has increased over the past three decades across the world. File this one under good problems to have. Dicks have gotten bigger by a lot, from 4.8 inches to 6 inches reportedly. That is a 24% increase in dick size in just 30 years, and that is huge. These researchers are legit. This isn't some Ashley Madison study. These researchers are from Stanford and Emory and prominent universities in Europe. They're not gay men comparing notes after an Atlantis cruise. And these researchers are honestly worried because penises seem to be getting bigger at the same time sperm quality and testosterone levels are dropping. I was curious about the methods. How were these data collected? Because when it comes to dick size, men aren't exactly reliable narrators. Guys, please note, dicks are measured from the top, from the base of the abdomen to the tip, not from the asshole and along the taint and over the balls and through the woods and onto the tip. I did read the study to learn more about where they were getting these data about dick sizes. Quoting from the study, different techniques to measure the erect length included self-report, in-office spontaneous erection, an in-office intracavernosal, i.e. penile injection. The authors of the study added, about self-report, because of their inherent biases, self-reported lengths should be regarded with caution. You think? Also unreliable, those in-office spontaneous erections. Some subjects, the report goes on, were unable to, quote-unquote, perform. According to the study, again, these men couldn't get hard while a grad student stood at their elbow holding a ruler. And I would point out that erections obtained by injection of Trimix, at least according to my gay male porn star pals, are a bit harder and a bit bigger than their non-Trimix boners. So, while all these data must be regarded with caution, quote, given the significant implications, the study concludes, attention to potential causes of dicks getting bigger and bigger and bigger, that needs to be investigated. That sound you hear right now? Yeah, that sound is gay men all over the world going full Jessica Fletcher on this shit. Those big dicks, those dicks getting bigger out there, we will get to the bottom of it, or get to bottom for it. And finally, one last dick on this very dickful opening of the Savage Lovecast. Leonardo DiCaprio. Writing in the Sunday Times, Hadley Freeman suggested that the 48-year-old actor, and as Hadley described him, shagger of models under the age of 25, be pushed out to sea one more time, like Jack was at the end of Titanic. Because, in case you hadn't heard, DiCaprio has got, or may have gotten himself, a new girlfriend. Under the age of 25. Well under the age of 25. Leonardo DiCaprio, perhaps the world's most famous phrasexual, has never dated a woman for more than a few years and never dated a woman older than 25. He has an established track record of dating models and actresses, sometimes for a few years, and then breaking up with them the second they turn 25. So, he's a dick. Or is he? Okay, probably a dick. All men are, really, but is DiCaprio a bad boyfriend? Maybe not. Seems to me that if DiCaprio were a bad boyfriend or a bad ex-boyfriend, if he'd left a string of upset and angry models and actresses in his wake, we would have heard from one or more of his exes by now about what an asshole he is. Yes, I know, absence of evidence isn't evidence of absence, and maybe DiCaprio has had all of his girlfriends sign non-disclosure agreements. But as Hallie Lieberman writes in BuzzFeed in the post-Me Too, post-Harvey Weinstein era, suing the violator of an NDA essentially defeats the purpose of the agreement because then the document becomes public, as does the activity the celebrity wants to hide. So, NDAs, not what they used to be, and thank God for that. Okay, so right now I am looking at a list breaking down DiCaprio's romantic history. The word amicable appears three times about three different breakups. The phrase no bad blood appears twice about two other breakups. And breakups that weren't described as amicable or no bad bloody on the Lay official website, which is where I found this list, are described as amicable on other celebrity news websites. Now, sometimes exes describe their breakups as amicable at first, like Armie Hammer and his ex-wife did, and pretty soon we find out they were anything but amicable. But most of DiCaprio's former relationships are well past the let's pretend to be amicable expiration date. And still, no complaints about Leonardo DiCaprio that I can find from the people whose opinions about dating Leonardo DiCaprio would seem to matter most, the people who've dated Leonardo DiCaprio. For while one amicable breakup may be regarded as an outlier, 10 amicable breakups could be regarded as a sign, perhaps, that someone is, I don't know, a decent enough boyfriend and a kind enough ex that he maybe doesn't deserve to be drowned at sea? So, yeah, maybe, just maybe, as annoying as it is, as galling as it is, as shallow as he seems to be, and as sexist as the double standard here definitely is. No A-list Hollywood actresses in their 30s or 40s could get away with dating and discarding scores of men in their very early 20s or very late teens, like DiCaprio has. But maybe DiCaprio is doing something low-key right by the women he dates. And the women he's dated and will date in the future, they're not exactly being yanked out of Skinner boxes after being raised in basement labs. DiCaprio has a reputation. It precedes him. And women have access to the internet, and I have to assume that anyone he dates now knows what the rest of us know and have known for years. Still, maybe each one of the women he dates thinks it'll be different for them, for her, different this time, that he'll be different this time because magical thinking is magic. And maybe he lets them think that or encourages them to think that and breaks their hearts one at a time. Or maybe they know he's only interested in something short term, and maybe that's all they're interested in too. If you can't see why a young woman might freely choose for her own reasons to date an older and more powerful man, a man she may find attractive sexually because he is older and more powerful, then you don't know anything about people or that women are people. Bottom line, I don't know why we assume the women DiCaprio dates don't know what they're getting into, and I don't know why we assume those women would want to spend the rest of their lives with a former twink now pushing 50. So as we heap scorn and wish death upon Leonardo DiCaprio for losing interest in his girlfriends after a few years, let's at least entertain the possibility that some of those girlfriends might just as easily have lost interest in him. Like those researchers at Stanford and Emory, these models and actresses may study DiCaprio up close and then conclude he's a huge dick. Okay, coming up on today's show on the Micro Savage Lovecast, tons of your Q's, lots of my A's, and on the Magnum Savage Lovecast that you can subscribe to at savage.love, Dr. Rachel Gelman, pelvic floor specialist, returns to talk vibrators, new moms, impatient dads, squirting, and more. Subscribe to the Magnum Savage Lovecast at savage.love. You get twice as much Lovecast, no ads, more guests, more calls, more questions. You also get access to the complete Savage Love sex advice column, all that and more awaiting you at savage.love, awaiting you right now in your earbuds, the Savage Lovecast. This episode is brought to you by Helix Sleep, the best mattress for your individualized comfort. Right now, my listeners get up to 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows. Go to helixsleep.com/savage.
This episode of the Lovecast is brought to you by the good folks at Squarespace. They make it easy to build a beautiful website, blog, or online store. Head on over to squarespace.com/savage for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code SAVAGE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hi, Dan. Since the pandemic began, my partner and I have almost entirely stopped going out. And, well, we are horny and miss that sexual charge of being in a play space with other people. On the last episode, you said that you have hosted casual sex parties before, and we're interested in hosting something. So I will ask you, how does someone organize a casual sex party with friends? I've never done this before. We actually had a small house party a few weeks ago in which the general vibe could have turned that way, but it didn't. And I found out after the fact that some, but not all, of the other attendees had discussed it amongst themselves and were prepared for it to turn sexual. Knowing that now, I wish it had, and they have expressed that they wish it had too. So, how do I make this actually happen? How do I power through the awkwardness in the moment? How do I get over the hurdle of making the first move? How do I interrupt the people chatting in the kitchen and say, hey, we're setting up the sling in the basement? I would hate to make someone who wasn't into it uncomfortable. I suppose they are all adults, so if we say, hey, the after party is starting, they could just leave. But why does that feel so taboo? Help, Dan. How do we fuck our friends?
So you had a party that almost turned sexual, and you wish it had, and a bunch of people who attended that party let you know that they wish it had turned explicitly sexual. There's your invite list for the friends fucking friends party that you would like to have. Invite those people over. The people who've already told you that they would have been comfortable, not just comfortable, but actually into the party that you already hosted turning sexual, invite everybody over for a do-over. Have that sex party. And you can call a couple of people who didn't say anything, a few people who didn't mention that, you know, there was a distinct sexy erotic vibe in the air and they kind of hoped something would happen. If there are people who didn't mention that to you, you can give them a call and say, how did you feel about the party? Some people thought it could have turned into a fuck fest and were sad that it didn't. Would you have wanted it to? And if they say no, then let them know you're having a do-over, but they don't have to come. They're not invited. But if they say yes, well, then your invitation list just grew a little longer. It just got a little bigger. This is a problem that's already solved itself because people have volunteered. People have told you what it is that they wanted from that party or would have been up for at that party. Invite them back. Invite them back for that party. As an icebreaker, I would recommend somebody volunteering to go first or somebody volunteering to already be going at it when other guests start to arrive, so that people aren't hanging back at the edges of the ballroom waiting for somebody else to dance, that you have a couple of people, ringers, rimmers, buttfuckers, whatever it is that they're going to be doing, who are going to get that part of the party started, who know it's their job and are into it, into doing that part of the job. Good luck with the do-over party. Give us a call back. Let us know how it came and went.
Hi, Dan and Nancy. This is a 30-year-old female in the Midwest. I'm calling because I have a question about attending a swingers hotel takeover. And it's not my first time, but I'm considering bringing a friend. Just to be clear, this is someone that I'm only friends with. And the caveat to this is he's never done this kind of thing before. And we also haven't had sex together ever or anything of that nature. We are only friends. And the more I think about it, the worse idea this seems to be. It makes things even worse. I have an enormous crush on him. And I don't know what I was thinking inviting him to this, and I don't know what he was thinking when he said yes, but I have run out of ideas on how to back out. He still is very interested in going, and I have explained in enough detail what I expect will happen at this kind of event. So if you have any help for me instead of just telling me to come clean with my crush / friend, let me know.
What were you thinking? I know what you were thinking. Your reptile brain was thinking if you invited this friend of yours, this guy that you have a crush on, to this hotel swingers event, this hotel takeover, that being in that sexy, crazy, fun environment with you might inspire him to see you in a new light. It might lead to the two of you finally getting it on, to your crush crushing on you. That is highly unlikely to happen. What's far likelier to happen is this dude who's expressed no interest in you sexually or romantically, that you have a crush on, a secret crush on that you don't want to reveal. You rule out you telling him the truth and telling him that you have a crush on him when you asked me to then weigh in and give you my advice. What's likelier to happen is this dude that you have a secret crush on is coming to this event with you because he wants to fuck somebody, fuck other women, fuck women who aren't you. And swingers events, hotel takeovers included, many of them have a no single males policy. If that's the case, then he has to go with a woman. And if he can't go with you, he couldn't go at all. And he's excited to go because he wants to fuck women who aren't you. And how are you going to feel about that? That's what you need to game out. And I can't imagine you're going to feel very good about that at all. You're going to get your feelings hurt. I'm sure just hearing what I've had to say has already hurt your feelings. You're going to be at this event with him. He is going to pursue other women and not know, because he thinks you're just friends and you've allowed him to continue to think you're just friends. He assumes that you have no, if he's not a malicious asshole, he assumes you have no sexual or romantic interest in him as he has none in you, and you're just going as platonic pals to this highly sexually charged event because you want to fuck other people and he wants to fuck other people and you don't want to go alone and he can't go alone. Yeah, you got to back the fuck out. If you can't tell him the truth, you got to catch COVID or something and back the fuck out. Don't go with him. Many swingers events, swingers parties allow single women to attend without allowing single men to attend. So you could back the fuck out. He could not have his date and not be able to go, and you could still go yourself alone, but you don't want to go with him. And I think, yeah, all the angst you feel and the conflict you feel about your attraction to this guy, the crush that you have on this guy, enduring that day in, day out, hemming and hawing about it, putting yourself on the rack about it forever, in the aggregate, that pain, that anguish is going to be greater. It's going to add the fuck up, and it's going to be greater than the awkwardness and anguish that you might feel if you're just honest with this guy and say, look, I invited you because I have a crush on you. I invited you because I've always wanted something to happen between us. If you don't have any feelings for me in that direction, I'm sorry that I've made our friendship awkward, and I'll get over it. I'll get through it. Obviously, I can be your friend without us having a sexual relationship, but inviting you to this party feels dishonest because now I'm your friend with an ulterior motive. And a friend who has a crush on you, who's likely to be very hurt by the end of the night if we go together and I watch you do what you were probably hoping to do and fuck somebody who wasn't me. Just tell him the truth. And if he's not into you, hear that and then disinvite him from the event because it would be too painful for you to watch him run off with somebody else. But you can still go. You've got the hotel reservations. You could still go. Or you can take the coward's way out and take a little red pen to your COVID test and make it look like you tested positive at the last minute.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Guess what I just did a couple moments ago? I updated my band's website because we have this big gig coming up and I gotta promote it. It took me all of 45 seconds to do. And last night, my bandmate sent out the email blast with a few clicks. Blam! So now we're all set. Here are just a few of the features Squarespace offers and that we enjoy. Email campaigns. Collect email subscribers and convert them into loyal fans. Start with an email template and customize it by applying your brand ingredients like site colors and logo. We just did this. If your org collects donations, you can support your cause by gathering contributions with PayPal, Apple Pay, Stripe, and Venmo. Analytics. Gain powerful insights into who's visiting your website and how they're interacting with your content with their in-depth website analytics tools, including page views, traffic sources, time on site, most read content, audience geography, and more. This stuff is good to know. You can share videos, connect to social media, sell stuff. It goes on and on. There is so much more on offer at Squarespace. If you want your website to work well and look beautiful, Squarespace has you covered. Head on over to squarespace.com/savage for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code SAVAGE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/savage and use the offer code SAVAGE.
Hi, Dan. I'm a former resident of Seattle. I currently live in Alaska. I just went through a 2-year relationship with what, of course, nobody wants to. Studied up and said she's a sociopath. She used me to get to Alaska. When she got here, she left me high and dry. She was the love of my life. And I have a beautiful home. I have a beautiful existence. It's not beautiful, but a great existence. And I've always been a resident of Seattle as a feminist and, you know, sort of a socialist. And I'm just trying to deal with how I got suckered into a sociopath. And how to try and get out of this, man. That's killing me. We spent 2 years together. She spent the past 4 months kicking me in the teeth, and moving on down the road with zero emotions, man. Zero emotions. And I just don't understand it. Just wasn't raised this way. 58 years old, so I got plenty of time, you know, kicking it around. So yeah, if you can help me get some emotions to deal with a sociopath and get through it.
It could have been worse. You were with this person, and I'm going to take your word for it. This person, sociopath, who used you to get to Alaska, which isn't that hard a place to get to, but there are people out there who take advantage of people, who manipulate and use people. And it's entirely possible that you were dating someone like that and you were together for 2 years, but just 2 years. And this person who spent the last 4 months kicking you in the teeth has exited your life. So that's a positive. When someone who is a terrible person hurts us in a terrible way and then fucks the fuck off forever, the hurting us in a terrible way was a terrible thing, was an awful thing, and a painful thing. The fucking the fuck off forever was the only decent and kind thing this sociopath or any sociopath could do for another human being, is to fuck the fuck off out of their life. You didn't marry her. You still have your beautiful house. You don't have to give her half your beautiful house or half your property or pay child support or pay alimony, you're free and clear of this terrible person. And you were the part of you that is hurting about her absence is the part of you who thought she was someone else, who thought she was a good and kind and loving person, or the kind of person that you needed to be with or wanted to be with. And she was none of those things. And it took you under 2 years. You say you were together 2 years, and the last 4 months were a shit show. It took you under 2 years to figure that out and get the fuck out of this relationship, or for that person to fuck the fuck off out of your life and do you that one single solitary favor, which maybe you getting off easy. The world is, well, not completely filled, but there's no shortage of sociopaths out there who have married people, tricked people, not tricked them, misrepresented themselves in such a way for long enough for someone to scramble their DNA together with that person. And then that person, that sociopath that you now realize you have kids with, is never going to be out of your life if you made the mistake of scrambling your DNA together, which you didn't do. So as painful as it is right now, and as awful as you feel right now, there's going to come a point, and you should just project yourself into the future. Imagine arriving at this destination, at this point in the future where you are grateful that this person is the fuck out of your life, and you have a new girlfriend or new friendships or a new life for yourself that's so satisfying that you realize that you are where you need to be, or you've made the place that you found yourself, a place you wanted to be, and you're happy. Happy to be in Alaska if that's where you wound up, even if you wound up in Alaska for shitty reasons. And you will, in this peculiar, perverse way, have this awful person and this shitty relationship to thank for where you are in the future, a future that you should proactively imagine will be positive and good for you, a future where you will be happy where you are, and you will have fully grieved this relationship, and you will no longer look to her and see the absence of the big emotions that you're feeling at the demise of not your relationship with this person, because this person isn't who you thought they were, but the demise of the possibility of that relationship, of who you hoped that person was and who that person eventually, and compared to some other folks, relatively promptly revealed themselves not to be. And then again, did you the favor of fucking the fuck off out of your life? The one good and decent and kind thing a manipulative, narcissistic sociopath can ever do for another human being. Kind of thing that I wake up every day hoping Donald fucking Trump will do for this country. Fuck the fuck off forever. You're rid of her. You're the better for that. You know that now. Now that you know who she is, it might come as some comfort to you seeing what she did. Not toying with your emotions, not lying to you about loving you, not convincing you to move to Alaska for her, but to see leaving you, to take some comfort in that, might help you cauterize this wound. My heart goes out to you. Really does. Really does. I'm not being snarky. My heart goes out to you as a fellow feminist and a fellow socialist.
When me and mine conk out, we do so very happily on our Helix sleep mattress. You can't have my husband or his boyfriend or my boyfriend. Well, not for keeps, but you can have and should get our mattress. Helix Sleep is a premium mattress brand that provides tailored mattresses based on your unique sleep preferences. The Helix lineup offers 14 unique mattresses, including a collection of luxury models, a mattress for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. We got the Midnight Lux model. Actually, we got two of them because we wanted medium firmness. And we tend to thrash around a little bit in our sleep at night. And sometimes we do a little bit of thrashing before we go to sleep. It was such an improvement. the Helix mattress over our old mattress. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night risk-free trial. You can try out your new Helix mattress, see how your body adjusts, and if you decide it's not the best fit, you're welcome to return it for a full refund. Plus, Helix mattresses are American-made and come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And remember, you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. Helix is offering up to 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for my listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/savage. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. Go and get it. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Hi, Dan and friends. I'm a hetero female living on the West Coast. I've been with my partner, a hetero man, for 2 years. And in that time, he's gotten to know some good guy friends of mine who have been married for about 5 years. We had a double date with them the other night, and there was a lot of wine consumed. I noticed my partner starting to act pretty flirtatious with our guy friends. He also started being very open, talking about sexual things. This didn't bother me, but it was surprising because it's very much not his MO, and I've never seen him behave this way with his straight male friends. So I have two questions. One, is this sort of behavior at all normal? Upon self-reflection, I feel that I've behaved similarly, for whatever reason, feeling more comfortable with being physically affectionate or even talking about sexual things with my gay girl and guy friends. So I'd love your opinion. My second question, is this behavior bad or offensive? I know the answer is a bit subjective, but as a general rule of thumb, is it rude for a straight friend to sort of be flirting with your gay friend's partner?
I don't know if it's normal, but it sure is nice. Used to be that a woman who had gay male friends, and lots of women have gay friends, it was more to be expected that the boyfriend, the straight boyfriend of that woman, would be uncomfortable around those gay friends. First, because often straight guys didn't like it when their girlfriends had other friends who were males, even if they were gay. And they also didn't like gay guys looking at them. They didn't want to be in the same room with gay guys. They didn't want gay guys checking them out and maybe thinking the things that straight men know, that straight men think about women. They didn't want men looking at them and thinking similar things. We live in a brand new world. We live in a brave new world where there are more straight guys who are comfortable, even grateful that their girlfriends have gay male friends, people that they can hang out with, people that they can confide in who aren't trying to get in their pants, in addition to the girlfriends that their girlfriends might have that they can confide in and hang out with who aren't trying to get into their pants. And more straight guys are comfortable being on the receiving end of that kind of aggressive male gaze. More and more straight guys are even kind of into it. The attention, the affirmation to being thought hot by somebody who fucks men. Maybe another girl, but you know what? Flirting with your girlfriends in front of you, well, that would be problematic. You would probably be more threatened or more concerned about that. Harmlessly flirting with your gay boyfriends when you guys are all out for drinks, if they're into it, if they enjoy it too and see it as harmless and affectionate, you're right. It is slightly subjective. Is he being a prick tease? Is he queer baiting? Well, not everybody objects to a little bit of queer baiting or cock teasing from hot straight guys. If John Cena wanted to sit in a bar and flirt with me with no intention of ever letting me suck his cock, I would be fine with that. Timothée Chalamet, too, if he's listening, I would be fine with that. A little harmless flirtation, a little mutual acknowledgement that, well, I don't think I'm hot, but you're hot, I'm hot, we're hot, but it could never happen. But wink and smile, and I wouldn't have a problem with that. Subjectively, my experience of that would be positive. I've been in that position and had a good time flirting with a girlfriend's boyfriend. So maybe you should ask your gay friends how they felt about it. Maybe your gay friends are going to say shitty gay things and tell you that your boyfriend couldn't possibly be straight if he was flirting with them like that in front of you. These days, though, your boyfriend, being comfortable enough, flirting with your gay friends in front of you, I think is less likely to mean that he's super secretly gay or bi, and more likely to mean that he's not so secretly very comfortable in his sexuality and secure in his sexuality, and not a homophobe, not threatened by gay men and gay male sexuality. And that's a good sign. You know, whenever a woman, a friend, a caller, a reader would tell me that their boyfriend or husband hated their gay friends and was intensely homophobic, I would warn them to run, run from that guy. A straight man who hates gay men, who's a homophobe, or is threatened by gay men, or afraid of gay men, homophobia is misogyny's shitty little brother. Straight men who hate gay men like that hate gay men because they think we're like women. You know who they hate even more than gay men? Straight men who hate gay men for being like women? They hate women. I think it's a really good idea for a straight woman to have some gay friends and to drag that new boy that you're seeing out to meet your gay friends early in the relationship. Because if he has a problem with your gay friends, he has a much bigger problem, or you have a much bigger problem on your hands, which is you're dating a misogynist. 2023, we're in you. Not too deep in you, but in you. Business owners, you're not so deep into 2023 that you can't still level up your business and set your year up for even more success. Get ahead of the competition, or just beat your own personal business best by using Stamps.com to mail and ship. Stamps.com lets you print your own postage and shipping labels right from your home or office. It's ready to go in minutes, so you can get back to running your business sooner. Postage rates just increased again. Luckily, Stamps.com has the best discounts in the industry, with rates you literally can't find anywhere else, like up to 84% USPS and UPS. Plus, Stamps.com automatically tells you your cheapest and fastest shipping options. For 25 years, Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses. Get access to the USPS and UPS shipping services you need to run your business right from your computer anytime, day or night. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. And if you sell products online, Stamps.com seamlessly connects with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Use Stamps.com to print postage wherever you do business. All you need is a computer and printer. They even send you a free scale, so you'll have everything you need to get started. And if you need a package pickup, you can easily schedule one through your Stamps.com dashboard. Set your business up for success in 2023 by getting started with Stamps.com today. Sign up with promo code SAVAGE for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code SAVAGE. Let them know the Lovecast sent you. Stamps.com, click on the mic, enter code SAVAGE.
Hi, Dan, Nancy, and the at-risk tech-savvy youth. My partner and I have been ethically non-monogamous for the last 7 years of our 14-year relationship. And while we enjoy dating others, we find a lot of people in this scene are in it specifically to fuck. We love sex. There's nothing wrong with sex. We find we prefer to build more of a committed, ongoing relationship. We like to fall in lowercase love or capital case like with people. And we find that a lot of our sexuality sort of depends on really liking the people that we're seeing. We expect the people that we're seeing to put energy into us, and in return, we will put energy into them. It's not to say we are polyamorous, we are monogamous. And so my question for you is, how can we simply state this? How can we let people know that we're not just looking for a one-night stand? Is there a word that we can use? We're familiar with demisexuality, although we both experience sexuality and sexual urges outside of romanticism. And so we feel like maybe demisexuality is not the right word. Is there romantosexual? Can you help us define what we are to have better ethical non-monogamous experiences?
We can come up with a new term and a pride flag for you and your partner, pride flag of your very own. But nobody outside of you, me, and your partner is going to understand what that new term means. If you say you're romantosexual, what does that mean? You're going to have to explain. And go ahead and explain. You said it pretty simply that you guys are open. You're not polyamorous in the sense that you don't want a committed, concurrent, romantic, intimate sexual relationship with somebody else, but you want a connection. You need to feel connected. You need to feel like you like the people that you're fucking. How hard is that to say? You know, we're into you. We always like to get to know the people that we're going to mess around with a little bit because it helps us to really like them, to like them. Some people who are open but not poly don't want any sort of connection, no regulars, no repeats, keeping it casual to the point of nearly anonymous. That's not what you want. And I think what you guys want is way more common among open opposite sex couples, that there needs to be some sort of connection for your safety, for your essential emotional security. And so people that you fuck have to clear that bar. And it's not too high a bar to clear. You don't want to see their tax returns. You don't want to date them for 5 years. You don't want some extended courtship where they have to come and meet your ma and pa on the porch and ask for your hands in four ways. They just have to hang out a little bit. You want there to be a spark. There was a term that Terry and I used to use back when we were open and slightly monogamish and not quite poly yet, which was very special guest star. We had some very special guest stars. We did want to feel connected. And that desire to feel connected with the other people that we were having sex with, eventually we had recurring guest stars. And then we had feature players who came again and again, literally came again and again. And those, at a certain point, we had to acknowledge were relationships and that what we were doing was polyamory. But we were able to have those very special guest stars and those connections and those guys we liked that we fucked around with without it becoming full-blown, full daisy chain, full Lucky Pierre polyamory, which is what it became in the end. So you can do it. You might catch feelings for someone along the way. And that's just a risk. Everybody who pulls their pants down in a room with other people pulling their pants down takes a risk we all run when we're getting naked and having sex with people that we like and might want to see again. All right, before we get to this week's listener response calls, let's check in on the comment thread at savage.love on last week's show. Laura comments about the woman on the last podcast who wants everything except PIV for a long time. Dan, you totally missed a big group of potential partners for her, guys with ED or performance anxiety. There are quite a few men out there who would be relieved not to have to worry about penetration. And if my experience is anything to go by, you have a good chance of finding someone who's taken the time to develop lots of other skills. I love a hard dick, Laura continues, but I've had some of the best sex of my life with guys with unreliable erections, just so long as they aren't too insecure about it. That's a great point, Laura, but it's not just the guy with the unreliable erection you don't want to have being insecure about it. It's his partner too. Some people take it personally when a guy's cock isn't rock hard the entire time. And those people have a habit of writing me letters, worried about whether their partner is attracted to them or not. Ladies and gentlemen and MB friends, if he loves going down on you and getting you off, even if his dick isn't hard the whole time, he is attracted to you. Professor Steve comments, the expression without a base, without a trace was invented by the hosts of the hilarious comedy podcast, Jordan, Jesse, Go. This expression comes up a lot during their celebration of Anal August. I'm sure Jordan and Jesse would be proud to have even more people realizing the erotic potential of the prostate, although I suspect most of Dan's listeners already know this about the prostate. Google tells me Jordan, Jesse, Go is a freewheeling comedy podcast about life in your 20s. It's been running since 2007, so I'm guessing maybe Jordan and Jesse aren't still in their 20s anymore, but I am going to listen and maybe we'll have them on during Anal August to talk about their show and talk about their amazing work. And finally, I'm going to make an exception and read a tweet for old time's sake. Big Apple Maeve, a regular tweeter back in the days when we read tweets, Big Apple Maeve tweets, respectfully making a motion to replace the term childless with child-free. That's a good suggestion. I think it's a little subjective, though. We should err on the side of child-free, perhaps, but some people who don't have children desperately want to or wanted to have children, and they probably don't experience the absence of children in their lives as freeing. More of a loss, less of a freedom, but I agree. That said, it's a difficult straddle. Don't want to make people without children feel like they're doing something wrong, like their lives are somehow incomplete if they are childless, but don't want to make someone who wanted kids and is without them feel like we're trivializing their pain. It seems like we need something neutral, something that lands between less and free, childless and child-free, and I'm blanking. If anyone out there has an idea, head over to savage.love. Leave it as a comment on this week's show. All right. Thanks to everybody who left comments about the show last week at savage.love. Thanks to everybody who posted to your social media accounts about the show. We really, really appreciate the way you help spread the word about the Savage Lovecast. And now, listener response calls.
Hey, I'm calling in response to the caller with the very depressed girlfriend who he's been living with, the one who's refusing to get help. I think Dan's absolutely right that the caller does need to move on from this relationship. He's not going to be able to help this person by staying with them, but kicking them out is not a legally viable option. I think in many places in the U.S., at least, tenants' rights laws mean that anyone who's been living in a place, regardless of whether there's a lease or whatever, has some sort of legal rights to stay there. So the caller could end up in a huge legal problem as well as a relationship problem by trying to kick this person out. What the caller needs to do is move out, get his own place, end the relationship, but can't accomplish that by kicking someone out because, aside from any moral questions there, very possibly a serious legal issue with that.
This call is in response to your opening, Dan, in episode 851, where you were talking about the kind of sex that happens in a relationship when at least one party knows the relationship is on its last legs. You brought up maintenance sex, but said that wasn't a good choice, so I would like to suggest either palliative sex, if you're thinking in terms of a caring end-of-relationship version of things, or if you're simply ready to acknowledge that everything is on its way down, entropy sex.
Hi, if I received a butt plug in the mail that was broken in any way, I would not use that. I would send it back. I would get a replacement. No glue I would feel comfortable using, and then having the unfortunate situation of having it break internally. That would be terrible. So, yes. Do not use glue, package it up, send it back, get a new one.
And we're going to leave it there. Got a question for next week's Lovecast or something to say about something I said on this week's Lovecast? Go to savage.love/askdan to record your question or your comment, or you can use the voice memo app on your phone and email your question or comment to q@savage.love. You can also call us at 206-302-2064. Have you checked out my new website, newish website, savage.love yet? It is the newish online home for both the Savage Lovecast and Savage Love, my long-running advice column. You don't need an account to leave a comment, and if you leave a good one, I might read it on next week's Lovecast. The tech-savvy at-risk youth even set up an online voicemail/mailbox where you can submit your questions and comments directly on the website. Go to savage.love. Join the conversation. I will see you there. The Hump 2023 tour is on. Go to humpfilmfest.com to find out when Hump is coming to a city near you or your city. Get your tickets to the hottest, craziest, funniest porn film festival on the planet right now at humpfilmfest.com. Follow me on Instagram at @fakedansavage. I am so close to 150,000 followers. Come and put me over the top. I'm also at postnews @fakedansavage and still lurking. Habits are hard to break. On Twitter @fakedansavage. Follow Dr. Rachel Gelman on Instagram @pelvichealthsf and learn more about her very important work at www.pelvicwellpt.com. Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian and me and the tech savvy at risk youth and Nancy. We will all be back at you next week with another installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thank you for downloading.